Yeah. Those are some amazing goals, and for Scotland, no less, right? Tonight, I want to talk about some amazing things. We had some great week at Stage and Slam, and some amazing things happened. But we'll get to that shortly. The first thing I want to talk about is, like I said, something that I think is very amazing. And here's the twist. Tonight I don't want to talk about how God is amazing or how Jesus is amazing or how amazing his love is for us. I want to talk about how we amaze Jesus, how we amaze him. And we're going to look at two ways that we can amaze Jesus. One is recommended and one is not recommended. Because in the scriptures, there are only two recorded instances of Jesus being amazed. And both have something to do with faith. Not Faith Chittick, wherever she wandered off to. But before we go any further, let's talk a little bit about faith and what that is. So the first thing we want to know is that Hebrews 11 says this. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There's faith. And faith is not happy. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. One of my favorite stories in the scriptures is this story here in Luke 8, where the disciples are out on the boat with Jesus, and the boat is getting tossed around by the winds and the waves, and the disciples are getting nervous. They think that they're drowning, and so they wake Jesus up, and they go, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And he gets up, and he rebukes the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asks his disciples. In fear and amazement, they ask one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Again, this story illustrates that faith is located someplace. Where is your faith? Jesus asks. Where is it located? Because it obviously wasn't there in the boat with him. So we put our faith somewhere, in someone, in something. And then obviously the Greek word for faith in the Bible most often means a strong conviction. And I wanted to look that word up to see exactly what that means. And the Merriam-Webster dictionary says a strong persuasion or belief, the state of being convinced. And so with that in mind, as we thought about what faith is, the state of being convinced, a conviction, a strong conviction, that we put our faith in something or someone, and that faith is being sure of what we hope for and what we do not see. Let's look at the first amazing story. And the first amazing story comes to us in Luke chapter 6. So if you have your Bible and you want to turn with me to page 1034, we're going to be actually looking at Luke chapter 7, but let me back up just a bit. Luke chapter 7 starts on 1035. But the first amazing story comes to us right after something that is very famous. One of his most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, probably the most famous sermon in all of history, happens in Luke chapter 6. And this is very early in Jesus' ministry, and he has spent the majority of his time in Galilee. And however, by this time, he's collected a pretty good-sized group of followers, of people that kind of call themselves his disciples. Now, the word disciple is an interesting word, too. The word disciple actually means a learner or student. And so he has this huge crowd of people sort of following him and learning from him. And there's a pretty wide spectrum you can imagine in any group of people. I mean, look at this group here. There's a pretty wide spectrum of people in any large group. Some of these people are just beginning to learn. Some of them have been learning for some time. And there were those who were apostles. They had committed themselves to him and had understood what he'd been saying and who he was, and their faith was more of a saving faith. They believed in him. And then there were those who were kind of following him, and they were more just curious about what he was up to and just sort of kind of tinkering around with what he was doing. And then, of course, there's everything in the middle. And so it was appropriate, I think, that Jesus direct this sermon at all of these people. And so if you look in chapter 6 at verse 20, he looks at his disciples and he says, what? He says this big sermon. So he's going to talk to this crowd of people who, again, to one degree or another, are sort of interested in him and what he has to say. And he's going to give them this sermon, which basically sorts out for them what is a true disciple. So he sees this big group of people following him, and obviously they're all along the spectrum. And he goes, okay, you want to follow me? Let me tell you what you're going to need to be able to kind of live up to. And so he gives them a sort of a list, so to speak, that they have to check off, but sort of a definition of what a disciple is. And he says, a true disciple is someone who recognizes their spiritual poverty. A true disciple is hungry for righteousness. A true disciple is a weeper, sorrowful, someone who's sad over their sin. A true disciple hates sin and loves people, including their enemies. A true disciple is a giver. They give and they expect nothing back. A true disciple knows their own faults and has grace for the faults of others. A true disciple follows God. A true disciple does what the Lord says and builds his house on the truth. And this is sort of the nutshell of what he's talking about in this sermon. So he gives this description of what sort of defines a true disciple. Now, Luke doesn't mention this, but in Matthew, which is another story about this sermon, in much greater detail, says at the end that people were amazed at this teaching of this Sermon on the Mount. And you guys have probably all read this story in the Bible. But here's what I want to get to, is that after this story, after the Sermon on the Mount, is this amazing practical example of some of the principles that he just discussed. So we're going to read that story. I'm going to try to put it up here and let you guys read it. It's going to be hard for some of you, but if you want to, you can look it up in your Bible there at Luke chapter 7. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. I'll read it off the screen here. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all of this, talking about the Sermon on the Mount, saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and there a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. Now think about what's going on here. He goes into a town, right? And there is a servant of a centurion. Now a centurion is a Roman soldier. This is a Roman citizen, okay? Whom his master valued highly. So this servant was obviously very important to this Roman citizen. He was sick, about to die. Now this centurion had heard of Jesus. That means Jesus' reputation had been getting around a bit. And so he sent some elders of the Jews. He did not send any Romans. He sent elders of the Jews because he knew that Jesus was a Jew. This guy had done his homework. He knew a little bit about who Jesus was. He did his homework and sent the right sort of delegation to see Jesus. And asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and he has built our synagogue. So these elders of the Jews were obviously big fans of this guy. They liked this guy. They were willing to go and see Jesus on his behalf and recruit Jesus to come and do this job for them. So Jesus goes with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends. Now again, he obviously has friends too, so this guy's a popular guy. So he sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Now note the language there. Lord, this is a centurion, this is a Roman citizen. Why would he be calling Jesus Lord at this point? Again, he's done his homework. He knows who this guy is. Don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, he goes. And I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So let's recap. Again, the centurion asked some Jewish elders to go and bring Jesus to heal the servant. Upon hearing that the centurions need Jesus, he agrees to go. Jesus was on the way. He meets the friends of this guy who now have a different message. Yes, the guy's still sick. And yes, he still wants Jesus' help. But now the message was what? Say the word. You don't have to come anymore. Just say it. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. So this Roman centurion had apparently thought better of his original request. He was humbled and somewhat embarrassed that he had asked Jesus to walk all the way to his house. This new message sort of revealed this profound understanding that this centurion had over the situation, which was, authority is not bounded by geography. He knew that Jesus' authority was not bounded by where Jesus was. He had done his homework on this guy. He knew that Jesus was a different kind of authority. Your word, Jesus, is just as effective whether you're here or whether you're there. Again, this is a Roman soldier. He knows that when the general sends a letter and says, do this, you do it whether the general is there or not. He understands authority. Again, he may not understand the full nature of Jesus' authority, but he understands how it works. You say the word from where you are, and I'm convinced that my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd, he says, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. And so Jesus responds to this centurion's faith, because when they get back, they find the servant well. What a great story. What a great story about someone who wasn't even Jewish, a Gentile, that had great faith. Now, the next story is about Jesus returning home, and this is found in Mark chapter 6, if you want to turn there. Mark chapter 6, this is a story about Jesus going back to his hometown. I'll give you a second. Mark chapter 6, 1 to 6. Jesus left there. This is a different time, so this is a different story. Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many had heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they ask? What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. So he goes home, and he gets some abuse from the hometown crowd, right? They took offense, which I'm sure later on they kind of regretted, looking back on the story. So great was their lack of faith in Jesus that what's it say in verse 5? He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. In some mysterious way, the hands of Jesus were partially tied by the shallowness of the hometown faith. Jesus was apparently willing and ready to do great things, but he couldn't. And once again, Jesus is amazed, but this time at their lack of faith. So you can see that apparently great faith amazes Jesus, and the lack of great faith amazes Jesus. The Roman soldier had great faith. Jesus did great things for him. The hometown folks had little faith, and Jesus did little things for them. And I think it's ironic that in Scripture, here God uses the story of a Gentile soldier to demonstrate that faith is available to anyone, not just those who grew up with it, the hometown crowd. He uses almost the guy furthest out to explain, hey, even the people furthest from home can have faith. The critical factor to which God responds is faith. The critical factor which amazed the Son of God was finding faith or not finding faith. Since Jesus is amazed at both ends of the spectrum, great faith and little faith, it appears he might be constantly sort of shaking his head in amazement as he surveys the world and he surveys his people. So let's ask a very obvious question. If Jesus walked in here right now, for what reason would Jesus be amazed? What evidence on one way or the other would he find in your life to be amazed? Would he be amazed at your great faith? Would he be amazed at your lack of faith? Faith, obviously, is not something we just wake up and have. It must be cultivated. That centurion lived in an environment that fostered authority and trust. When the time came, he knew how it worked and was able to see a bigger picture. We saw James McFadden earlier kicking goals. Do you think James McFadden just woke up one day and could do that? Well, he probably had some natural ability, sure. But no. I mean, I can play football. I can also twist my ankle poorly when I attempt to play football with 12-year-olds. But playing amazing football takes some work. Having amazing faith takes a little work, takes a little practice. And life works a lot like this. We must be willing to make little choices every day that help us grow into amazing faith. It's not one day you just wake up and you're amazing faith. You don't just have this amazing faith one day. It's slow steps. We don't all have it all together, do we? Each day we get choices that we get to make that cultivate our faith. Now usually, again, those choices start very small. But over time, as we begin to make those choices, our muscle, our choice muscle gets a little stronger. And our ability to make good choices begins to win out over our ability to make bad choices. So, my challenge to us all is, how are we going to amaze Jesus? This isn't a contest. God's not up there going, okay, you're amazing and you're not amazing. He's going to love us regardless. But our faith is important because our faith is what impacts our choices. And our choices are what impact our life and our ability to walk in fellowship with Him. And that's where the goodness comes. He's ready to do great things for you in your faith if we're willing to put our faith in Him. Jesus asked His disciples, where's your faith? So where is it? Where are you putting it tonight? Speaking of great faith, this week we experienced some great things at the Hub with Stage and Slam. I made some great new friends. I got to spend time with some great old friends. Sorry, Andy. I also had a great time just watching the whole thing unfold. For those of you, this has been my fourth Stage and Slam, right? Fourth, feels like. It's changed every year. And it's been incredible for me to see this sort of combination of folks come together and do some amazing things. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this microphone here in a second, and I'm going to walk around, and I'm going to just stick a microphone in your face and ask you a question. And so, hello. And at that point, you'll answer my question, and we'll see what happens. You can turn off the lapel mic. I'll use this fancy handy-dandy. There we go. Check one. All right, I'm going to start over here. Alex Richards looks like he's about to fall asleep. Stand up for me. Let me wake him up. Alex, how many stage and slams have you been to?
This is my third.
So I've been to one more than you have.
That's right.
What was, in your experience, obviously you get to see so many of these kids throughout the year. What was one thing that was maybe shocking or eye-opening for you this particular year?
I don't know. The amount, probably the Evo, yeah. Probably the amount of kids that come back every year. You know, there's some kids who have been 4 years in a row, and the fact that they come back every year, and each year they come back, they bring friends. Or each year they come back and they'll hear more about this guy called Jesus, and maybe they don't commit the first year or the second year or the third year, but they commit the fourth, and it's like, oh, fantastic. And so I think that's been the most shocking thing for me.
Great. Now, for those of you that don't know, what we call program in Young Life is the drama aspect of what you see in the events that we do each day. All of our events, there's a story that's being told, sort of a fictional story that we tell with characters throughout the week, and those characters sort of become endeared by the kids, and we have different characters that do different things, and they all sort of interact for the purpose of seeing something redeemed at the end. And this year, Alex was responsible for that entire program. I think you and your friends wrote that and practiced it and put it all together. How much time do you think you spent in hours putting that whole thing together? Just guesstimate.
In man hours?
Yes.
In total man hours, I'd probably say over 200.
200 hours. And how long were you on stage, actually?
Oh, 2 minutes. About an hour in total. So,
well, the program was phenomenal this year, so thank you so much, Alex. Give Alex a hand. Now, this is Marianne. Marianne, can you stand? Yes, she can even stand to stand next to me. You do. The people are back here. Oh, hey. So, Marianne, how many times have you been to Scallon? How many times have you been to Stage and Slam?
Two.
When was the last time you were here?
2010. Other than this week.
Now, what was your job all week?
Whatever needed to be done that someone else wasn't doing.
Now, thank you. Now, in baseball, we have a position called the utility infielder. This is basically the baseball player that can play any position. Now, in football, do we have a player like that? Would a midfielder be like that, maybe?
A
sweeper? Someone that can play, like, anything? Like, if the goalie goes down, this... Is there one player on the soccer team that could do it all? No, there's nobody like that? Well, if there were, it would be Marianne. Phil Neville. Okay, I don't know who that is. Marianne, what was the most amazing thing you saw this year?
The students who were students 3 years ago are now in leadership.
That's great.
And leading other people to Christ.
Yes, that's right. Thank you so much. Let's see, where am I going next? I think I'm going this way. Anna, come here. I know, it's kind of fun. I have a lot of control with the mic. It's fun. I might just call on weird people that I've never talked to before. What's your name?
No.
Just kidding. Now, this is Anna. Anna and I actually live in the same town in America. Can you believe that? Anna, how many times have you been?
This is my second year at Stage and Slam.
Okay, and why did you come back? Besides the fact that I invited you.
Yeah, Mike called me. No, I came back because I love Scotland, and I was so amazed the first time at just how big the Lord was doing things here. Like, it wasn't just like this little thing. It just seems so big, and I had to come back and be a part of it again.
What was the most amazing thing you saw this year?
I think the most amazing thing I saw was, this is hard. This is a tough question. Overall, I would say the most amazing thing was how quick and ready everyone was to do anything. Like, all the leaders were just like any second ready to go do whatever, even if they didn't know what they were doing or anything. And also how much people prayed. It was like a ton of time spent in prayer, and that was really amazing.
Great. Before you sit down, I'm going to bring Taylor out because he's stuffed in there. This is Taylor. Say hello to Taylor. You guys can sit down if you'd like. Taylor, he knows somebody I think that a lot of us know. Who do you know that somebody in this room might know?
Randy Nickel.
Tell everybody how you know Randy.
I live like 5 minutes from Randy. I've gone to church with him my whole life. So
sorry. Why did you come?
It's a funny story. People have been asking us all week, me, James, and Luke, they've been asking us, they're like, oh, how long have you been involved in Young Life before? And we're like, never. We've never been involved in Young Life before. And Randy, ever since he started coming over here, he's been trying to convince me to come and telling me that they need guys and, you know, kind of pulling at me. And this summer, I didn't have any plans yet. And over Christmas, he's like, you know, we need guys again. And I was like, okay, yeah, okay. And then over Easter break, he was like, we still need guys. And I was like, okay. Like, I kind of felt like God was kind of telling me, like, okay, this is going to be an option this summer. And I emailed a couple of my friends at school. James and Luke were the two who responded. And God just made it happen. We had 3 days to decide. I was talking to Mike, and he was like, okay, yeah, great. I need to know by Sunday. I'm like, okay, it's Friday. And so God just opened up doors for us and just made it possible for us to come over here.
Yeah, I think when you told me on Sunday, I was on a little holiday with my family, and I was standing in a parking lot when you told me. I remember. It was kind of fun. Well, Taylor, that was a sidebar, Anna. Tell everybody, what was the most amazing thing you saw this week?
I saw so many amazing things. One would have to be kind of like Anna said, the prayer. Like, I knew prayer was powerful, but I didn't know it was this powerful. Just the amount that we prayed, and for the direct people that we prayed for. One of the coolest things was we'd pray for a kid all week, and then at the end of the week, he would come to Christ. Like, just to see the direct impact of prayer, and prayer as a group, was amazing.
Great. Thanks, Taylor. You guys can all slide in there. I like your hair. Brooke. She's so excited. I called on her. Tell everybody. Okay, this is Brooke. Where are you from?
I am from San Clemente, California.
Where's San Clemente, California?
San Clemente, California is in Southern California, so it's right in between San Diego and Los Angeles.
Cool. Is it hot there?
It's perfect. It's perfect. So it's hot, yes.
So you're inviting everyone to come to California is what you're saying?
Absolutely. You guys are all invited to stay in my beach shack. You are more than welcome to.
Okay. Now, Brooke, do you do any kind of youth work back home?
In high school, I did Young Life High School, and then in college, I do Young Life College. So I'm dealing with college students. So, yeah, it's youth work, pretty much.
Okay. Brooke's a lot of fun to hang around with, if you couldn't tell. Brooke, tell everybody, what is the most amazing thing you saw this week?
Well, I could say I saw something amazing and I felt something amazing. I go to a college, university of 40,000 people, so I'm around a lot of people. But I can say this week was the most I've ever seen so many unconditionally joyful people. So that was like the coolest thing I definitely saw. And the coolest thing I felt this week was I really felt the presence of God. And that was super awesome.
Super awesome. Thank you. I'm walking around. My ankle hurts. Coming over here. Hi, Lynn. All right, who's this lovely lady right here? Stand up. This is Anna Lee. I'm having a difficult time trying to decide where to stand. All right, just stand right there. You can turn your back to the pastor.
Okay.
Who are you?
I'm Annalie Ashmore.
Where are you from?
Greenville, South Carolina.
Greenville, South Carolina. She's from the South, ladies and gentlemen. Give us some southern, what's a southern word you know?
Y'all.
Y'all. What does y'all mean?
It's really close. A plural of you.
A plural of you.
Like you guys. Use. Yeah.
Use. Y'all and use. Okay, great. Do not have to be scared of this. It won't bite.
It was just really close.
I know. It needs to be so people can hear you.
Okay.
So tell everybody, why did you come to Scotland?
I have friends from college that went on this trip last year. Hillary is one of them. And then another one of my friends, Megan Carter, came on this trip. And they just were just so passionate about the Scottish people. And I just didn't understand how you could go to some place for 3 weeks and just fall so in love with it and have so many kids that they still kept in contact with. And so I was like, I gotta try that.
Do you understand now?
Oh, yeah, I definitely understand. This place is awesome.
So do you want to stay?
Yeah, can I?
Anna, you're looking for a place to stay, right? Could she stay with you whenever you find a place? What was the most amazing thing you saw this week?
I kind of feel like a broken record, but definitely seeing prayers be answered. Specific kids that we prayed for, and they wouldn't. Like, we'd pray for them in the beginning of the week, and then they wouldn't show up, like, Wednesday or Thursday, and we're kind of like, all right, Lord, like, you're working in their hearts. We know that we've done what we can. We've planted the seed of the gospel in them, and then they'd come back Friday and tell us that they'd accepted Christ, and that was just the greatest feeling.
Great. Thank you so much. I love your southern accent. I do. It makes me feel at home. Excuse me. Could you stand up for a second? Everyone, this is Hillary. Some of you remember her from last year.
Hi.
How many times have you been to Scotland?
This is my second time.
Second time. Why'd you come back?
Kind of like Annalie was saying, I just completely fell in love with all the people here and the mission of it.
Okay. So what was different about this year versus last year?
Definitely a different group. It was...
Muir's making fun of you behind. He's cracking jokes. Muir, we're talking here.
I've told about a lot of people here, but I felt like God selfishly like handpicked this whole group almost like around me. My little sister's here. I have friends from school here. Five people from my hometown's here, and then people that went last year are here. So almost every person from this trip I'd met before, I'd heard about before. So it was just an incredible... almost like a selfish thing, like feeling God's love through the people that were here was, like, incredible. Also, yeah, broken record, just the prayer of it all. Last year was a lot of, I felt like doing, which was great, too. But this year, it was just, especially with the program being done, it was just a lot of time just sitting and praying and talking to the Lord and watching the Lord work, not only in, like, the kids' lives and hearts, but, like, working in our hearts through us. Not just, like, us doing his work, but him kind of, like, moving us in every aspect.
That's great. And Hillary did recruit half the team, so we're going to get her to come back next year. Okay, Amanda, come out here. This is Amanda. Most of you know Amanda. How many times have you been here, Amanda?
3.
This is your third year in a row, right?
Yeah.
Why do you keep coming back here?
It makes me want to cry when I talk about this. I just love it here and the people here and the kids here and everything. I just like it all.
It's all right to cry. It gets the sad out of you.
I'm not going to.
Tell us, Amanda, what was the most amazing thing you saw this year?
I'm not trying to be a brown noser because I know you just talked about this, but like the faith that this Scottish team has and like everything coming together is so amazing. Like I feel like back in the States, every camp that I've ever worked on or anything like that, I'm always like, I feel like I try so hard like in my own self, and I'm not just like, well, I prayed to God and like I have faith that he's gonna, you know, make a revolution in this city and everything like that. And it's just so cool to see how much faith the whole team has that everything's gonna come together. And it's like there's no even worry there about how many kids are going to come to camp. Did we do enough, like, ministry work? Is there, you know, are we going to have more numbers than next year? And it's purely just, like, God's going to do what he's going to do. And we've, you know, prayed and we've left it all up to him. And it's really cool.
That's great. Thank you so much, Amanda. And this is Emily.
Hi.
Emily is a veteran as well. How many times have you been?
Three.
Three times. Do you and Amanda want to wrestle afterwards to see who gets the prize? What's the most amazing thing you saw this year?
I would say the growth. I was here the first year that Stage and Slam ever was done. And this was the first time that the Scottish team did basically everything from program to the speaker. They ran their camp. So it wasn't Americans coming to show them how. It was the Scots using us to help build their ministry, and that was amazing.
So you like getting bossed around by the Scots, what you're
saying? Totally. Completely.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much. And then Andy. Come on up here, Andy. We're going to finish eventually. I'm not going to interview everyone in the crowd, I promise. Andy, obviously, you and I have gotten to know each other over the years, and you've seen these American teams each and every year. What's been different about this team versus previous years?
They've been a fantastic team, really, really good team. Last year, it was lovely to have a sort of family dynamic. We had 37 last year, but so many of them were families with kids and the responsibilities that brought as well, and that was a really wonderful atmosphere. This year's, there's just been so much that they've just been willing to give, and we've met an hour earlier every day than we ever have before. We started at 9 every day. We used to start at 10, and that first hour was all prayer, and that's what then set us up then after that first hour to get on and do all the doing. And they did all the praying, as you've heard, and then they did all the doing, and just willingly for both, and to keep giving and keep giving, and with such pleasance and such presence. Yeah.
Obviously, you can't see into the future that I know of, but if you were to look into the future of this week of Stage and Slam and sort of kind of see the next couple, 3 years, what do you see that looking like?
A couple of the guys touched on the fact that those that were pupils, those that were students over the last few years are now some of our leaders. And that's our prayer. We want to see that happen more and more. And it's lovely to see some of you guys who are pupils here tonight. And you can be those leaders. You can be those leaders. And some of you already are those leaders in your class. Some of you already are those leaders with the pupils round about you every week. And some of you will be these leaders. Some of you will be these leaders here in Scotland, in the UK. And some of you are going down after a week of this for a week of Wales, and we won't see you next week because you'll be pupils and you'll be leaders down at Wales next week in Powys. And some of you will be doing this in the States and in other exciting places. Who knows? In different languages, maybe. There's the same God that's been so amazing in you and around about you this week in Stage and Slam. He's going to be amazing in you in school this year. And he is going to take you amazing places in the years to come, too.
Thank you, sir. As I finish up, I do want to say one last thing. Many of you know that I travel around quite a bit with Young Life, and I'm in a lot of different places each year. I was in Russia before I came here, and later this year I'll be in China. And I get to travel a lot because of my job. And most of the time where I go someplace, it has a work mentality to it. I'm there on assignment. I'm there to perform a task or to help shepherd people or do whatever it is that is required on that particular objective or in that particular mission. Very rarely do I go to a place and feel at home. And this is that place for me. So thank you for allowing me to come home and do mission. So I think, or what's the plan after this? There's another song, I think. So as they come up, again, I'll say thank you from the hearts of all the Americans, and we're grateful for your hospitality.